those 26 episodes, while it does have a completed story in the sense that it has a beginning, a climax, and an end, go ahead.
Hey, butthead. He said climax.
Shut up, ass munch.
Heard the song Silly Go Round from the anime Dot Hack Roots by the artist Fiction Junction Yuka, and this is the 77th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where our sole mission in life is to do nothing more than to make you
more addicted to anime. Wow, that was like we practiced right there.
We do practice late at night, hours on end.
Hours.
You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymousPodcast, the newly established AAAnetwork.org, and also Ustream.tv, where you can watch us live every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's a great show, so come check us out. It's a lot of fun.
Yay!
We have a special guest with us tonight.
Yay!
Mr. Felix Alberni from Primetime Geek.
Cheers.
Favorite.
Aww.
His website is Prime. You guys. His website is primetimegeek.com, and he is also live on the Ustream from 6 to 7 p.m.
And we go on a show like once a month, so you guys should totally check him out.
So go check him out every Sunday.
It's
6 to 8 p.m.
Come on now. You know you spend more than an hour. It feels interminable.
It just goes so fast. It just feels like an hour.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, Felix.
Oh, okay. All right. I accept that as a compliment. Very good. Thank you for having me, guys. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I hope I can contribute to your ongoing mission to provide all anime all the time.
Well,
I wasn't here for that practice, though. It's a good thing, too. I wouldn't be around, when you practice that thing all night long, hour after hour. You know, that might be a little awkward.
It could be awkward, yes.
It's pretty much just off the fly.
Okay.
I know it's hard to believe, but
it really looks completely choreographed and, you know, like Broadway produced. It was
Speaking of which,
it was awesome.
We saw Wicked. It was awesome. Total tangent right there.
My girlfriend went to see it with her daughter. And
oh, yes. It was very good. I did like the dragon that moved. It was cool. Anyway, so Felix, on episode 176 of your show,
yes,
you were with the an expert on manime.
Yes,
Kent Ward's Land of Awesome.
Yes, yes, yes. I do want to give props. He is my friend Kent Ward. His blog is the Land of Awesome, and
it's a great name.
I think it is. He's the head of the Propeller Anime Club over at Full Sail University. He's a former teacher there, and that's when he started the club, and now he still runs the club. They still have their meetings there monthly, and they have all sorts of... They have get-togethers to watch anime, but they also have social outings, and this is what I love about it. He organizes dodgeball tournaments. He organizes bowling outings for them. They're truly a social group.
Do you throw a wrench?
No, not yet. But if we could organize a dodgeball tournament... See, I'm all about getting the whole podcasting community, the whole geek podcasting community, into some sort of tournament. Oh. Round robin or bracket tournament, either bowling or dodgeball or something.
You know, Felix, I hate to put it like this, but we would kick ass.
That's fine. Come
we
out.
We would kick ass. And come I also and show ha- it. I hate to say it, though, but there's four of us and there's one of you. How would that work? It's not fair to you.
If I'm the organizer, then I'm impartial.
You're like the MC.
Yes, I am. I'm the master of ceremonies.
I gotta say, after all the P90X, it really does work.
You're still trying to get that endorsement, aren't you?
Oh my god. I just saw someone write in the chat, Team Church Mitsugi, and I really think that should be a shirt. I really think that will be in our cafe press store within the next 48 hours.
It could happen. Anyway.
I want to get back to Kent. Yeah, are you asking me about?
Oh, no, please.
And in terms of, Kent is, he's become mildly notorious on the convention circuit for doing his manime panel. It's manime, where he outlines his 12 laws of true man. And it's, I could never really figure out if it's tongue-in-cheek or if he actually really believes these sorts of things.
Well, I was going to ask you if you could give us an example of what one of the 12 laws was.
The easiest one to remember is at one point in your manly life, you must headbutt somebody.
And you did this.
And I did this on air during my show on that particular episode you mentioned.
Oh my god, that sounds so painful.
And we had to demonstrate the technique, and I found an appropriate music bed for it. I found the Fist of the North Star theme song that they used at the intro of the show when Manga Entertainment released it on VHS in the 90s. Mm. And it was comical because I needed three tries at it. The first time, there was commentary from the Peanut Gallery that it was weak. So I did it the second time, and the second time I actually pulled back at the last second, so it wasn't a real hard hit, and I had to do it the third time, and the third time we could actually hear it in the microphones.
Oh my god!
Yeah. And the next day, yeah, I didn't realize that it had done any real structural damage until the next day when I'm just kind of putting my palm to face, you know, as I do at least three or four times a day when something stupid happens.
Yeah.
And I was like, ow! I had hurt my head.
You have a big, like a big crater right in your skull.
Well, it's a good thing that the camera doesn't show that right now.
So my question is, whose head was harder? Whose head hurt more the next day?
I don't think his hurt at all because he's used to these things.
Does he practice headbutting? I mean, so it's really not too fair then.
He does. But the 12 laws of true man, and I would direct anyone to look up Kent Ward or the Land of Awesome blog and look up the 12 Laws of True Man, because there are some truly useful bits of wisdom there. The body is thy temple. Okay, be mindful of what you put in it.
The body is thy temple, so headbutt it?
No, headbutt somebody else.
But you still headbutt yourself.
But you practice it so that it doesn't harm you anymore. See, it harmed me because I'd never done it before.
Oh, so that's like, you know, the whole learning how to walk on hot coals or something.
Yes.
It's like the mind over matter, honing yourself.
You toughen yourself, yes.
I understand now. It's very zen.
It is. And then there's the whole thing about it. Here's where you get into trouble, is there's the whole thing about and pardon me, Chiaki, because this one's going to set you off, but there's the whole thing about if a, how does it go? Give me a moment. I want to look it up. I want to read the exact words because I don't dare misquote the 12 laws of true man.
Okay, well, while
it has to do with how you deal with girls who give you lip.
Nice.
Yeah. By all means, let me look this up.
Okay.
I don't want to mess this up.
Well, while you do that, I'm gonna announce our new forum members. We had 10 new forum members this week. Well, we actually had 68 new members this week, of which 10 posted. And I imagine there were a fistful that got banned.
Yeah, there was. I dropped the band hammer. Pa-pow.
Anyway, Lodi Darl,
yes,
posted. Zombie feature.
Oh, I like Lodi Darl. He's sassy.
Echo the BM. Timberman. Goth LOL Girl 71. Artist 2009. Eden Anarchy. Knill. Black Star.
Butt Sex. That was for
602
Kimiko.
And Blago.
I think.
Welcome to the forum.
My name of the week is going to have to be Zombie Feature.
I agree.
We picked the same name.
Yep.
I got the, I have the law now.
You have the law?
If we're ready.
I'm ready for
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go. This is True Man Law number 2, And it goes, if a woman becomes unruly and gives you back talk, feel free to introduce her to the back of your hand.
Lord, bless my pimp hand and make it strong.
Make it strong,
so
Lord.
That a hoe may know her place.
This is my bottom, bitch. Swedish taboo.
Make sure you snap your wrist as you hit her so it stings there. Okay? And he, there's an explanation for this. And I again, this is Kent. This is a result of modern-day women, young women specifically, feeling a sense of entitlement to do as they please. Young women will constantly lie, fake illness, have zero ability to cook and clean, bail out on plans, date unmanly losers, see True Man Law number 1, wear terrible 80s fashion and blame others for their mistakes and lack of efficiency. They will almost always pass blame. There is not a thing that is ever their fault, and they will be sure to let you know that everything is yours. And if you wish to continue reading this, it is at kentward.com, and you can just look up the 12 Laws of True Man. This is why I believe that a great number of these laws are delivered in tongue-in-cheek, and they're delivered for the sake of humor for the audience, because he fills a room. If you've ever been to one of these manime panels, there are men and women in the room laughing their butts off, and then there are about maybe two or three people in the room who are not happy and are giving him
offended.
The stink eye. Yes. And everybody else is
laughing. People are no fun.
Right. So,
just remember, kids, rule of thumb.
What's the rule of thumb?
You don't. The expression, the rule of thumb, actually came from, like, the colonial period, where it was permissible to beat your wife so long as you did not give a bruise larger than your thumb.
I did not know that. Hence the rule of thumb. Wow.
How would you even do that? Like, your thumb's pretty small.
Well, thumb.
Is it like the diameter of your thumb?
I don't think they specified here.
What if you were like really huge and had like a giant hand?
Well, then it sucks to be your wife.
I love the comment in the chat from Dramatic Pause. Kent, I have the National Organization for Women online too holding for you. That's very good. That's very good. Now the next law, in his own defense, I really thought that he was going to redeem that law number 2 with number 3. If a woman is giving you back talk because you are being a bitch, then a true man is to introduce you to the back of his hand. And I really thought that halfway through that, he's going to say the woman is entitled to give you an introduction to the back of her hand. But no, another true man must step in there and take care of things.
Chiaki gave me like a right hook the other night. Yep.
Oh my, fine.
I see a bruise bigger than a thumb, so.
I had to
you were put my rings on. Sass, and I just had to put you down.
And then I went and put my giant rings on and, you know, exercise the first rule of man.
Are you going to get those tattoos like in the A-Team, this pity and fool, you know, across the knuckles?
Yeah. No mercy right on my knuckles.
Mine's going to say, anime girl.
Well, that sounds like you guys had some fun.
We did.
And that's why you should go check out Primetime Geek, because if you don't, you're not going to have any fun.
No.
I do want to throw some credit just very quickly. The next episode, we had Kent, and we also had Larry Furry, who is a veteran of a number of different conventions.
Furry.
They call him Fuzzy at the shows, but he is Larry Furry. And he's been called upon to work staffing for a number of conventions up and down the East Coast. He's in tight with the Harmony Gold people out in California, so he knows a lot about Robotech. He is a huge Robotech and Macross aficionado. He delivered a panel today at MegaCon on Robotech, of which maybe 20 people attended. But I was there, and Larry's awesome. He has one of the best voices not working in broadcasting I've ever heard. He had a lot to say in our follow-up episode, The Ultimate Convention Guide, and things that we'd like to see in conventions, questions we have about why Florida is not a destination for better conventions, why we can't draw the best guests and the biggest shows. And
there's already
a good
the best guest coming.
The best guest is coming already?
Steve Bloom.
Ah, yes.
It's difficult to beat Steve Bloom. Yeah.
In my world, it is.
So, we had some birthdays. And I remember to write them all down this week, so nobody was left out.
Yay, Mitsugi thinking ahead.
It's more like a progressional thinking throughout the week, you know. Anyway, so birthdays, we have the Alpha Jan.
Yay, Alpha Jan!
From Console Alliance, turned 27. Congratulations. Full Metal Media, turned 26.
I like that name.
Nice.
Congratulations, Full Metal Media. Zombie feature, new forum member.
Aww. And the name of the week.
Join the forum and have a birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Turn 15, by the way. Some name I can't pronounce. Mon Conilar, 41.
Spammer, I bet.
Could be a spammer, but could you turned 41, spammer. Apparently. Even spammers have birthdays.
They're not people.
No, they're hatched.
They're not people.
All right, fine. The Valentian Ozzy could also be a spammer, but you turned 38.
Valentian Ozzy? No, that sounds...
Yeah, that could be
so, is that legit?
Vaguely menacing.
That's not like, will you just take your hand and kind of smash some keys on the keyboard?
Or a cat walked across your keyboard. No.
Yeah, well... And finally, Drunken Shadow, you turn 20. So close, but so far.
Otanjobi omedeto.
Otanjobi omedeto gozaimasu.
Sláinte. Cheers to you.
All right. Well, that was some good birthday talk. I'm happy that that happened.
Birthdays are always good. I'm glad we didn't forget anyone this week. It wasn't our usual. And some other people had birthday. Happy birthday!
Me too. And now, for one more quick announcement before we... Actually, two more quick announcements. The first one is the AAA Network went up. It's aanetwork.org.
Congratulations, guys, on that. In all seriousness, that's a fantastic website. I was really impressed, and I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm really honored.
Chiaki built the whole thing, so yes. I really can't... I mean...
And kudos on the spam filters that you have installed.
Yeah.
Because we were drawing some serious... It was rain and spam. It was like chocolate rain.
Chocolate rain.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
And Felix is on there. So go check Felix out on the AAA Network if you feel like it. And then you can go back to his homepage from there. And also, another quick thing. The next weekend, next Sunday, the host of the Too Lazy to Be Otaku podcast will be joining us for an episode.
Yes, and you know what else could be happening next Sunday?
No.
If our listeners raise $246 more dollars, you could be dressing like a girl, Mitsugi.
Yep, it's true.
Wow.
Our fundraiser for the Red Cross for disaster tsunami relief has currently raised $762.13. Thank you, everybody who's donated. You
yes,
guys are wonderful. But So close. Because as we said, if we break 1,000 by the end of the month,
we will have a cross dress episode.
I will dress like a girl.
And Kimiko and I will be dressing like boys.
Oh, really? Well, that's not quite as bad.
No, it's not.
I thought you do that for every show at least once, right? No?
Whoa.
I'm thinking, no.
Awkward.
Awkward turtle.
Awkward turtle.
Somebody's making a request for Smutfic in the chat here.
Last week.
That's a good thing to mention, too. All of Kimiko's fan fiction right now, you can get them through our AA store on our website. It's on the pink top banner. All of Kimiko's fan fiction, 100% of the proceeds go to the charity effort. And I'm also willing to take commissioned artwork. I did one painting, and I meant to do more, but I've been busy. But if you have artwork, please contact me. My email's aachiaki@gmail.com, and I'm willing to take commissions, and we'll donate everything to charity.
So one more quick comment before I get into the podcast agenda. We raised $246 last week, so if you guys manage that number in the next 5 days, you will get what you want. So... Anyway, podcast agenda. We're going to be talking about upcoming future video games that are based on anime or have anime themes. And there's a lot of them, because Japan exists. Yes.
Sort of.
Profound,
right
I know.
Now.
It exists,
we're very happy
please,
they still
you.
Exist.
Yes. It is a good thing.
And of course, we're going to have an anime news break after that, and then we're going to come back and we're going to tackle two animes based off of games inside of a game.
What?
From the Dot Hack series.
These were requested, too.
Oh, sure. Not Dot Hack Roots wasn't requested.
No. Someone, hold on. I'm going to figure this out. Someone requested that we review...
Well, I'm going to be reviewing Dot Hack Sign, and Chiaki
yes.
is going to be
Bob
reviewing Dot Hack... Please.
Bob Not K requested a review of any of the Dot Hack anime, Legend of the Twilight.
Okay, well, I'm going to be reviewing Dot Hack Roots, and Chiaki's going to be reviewing Dot Hack Sign.
Yay!
And...
Yeah. And I'm going to shamelessly plug my show at every opportunity.
Yes, and we expect you to.
Okay.
You know where else they talk about video games at? Primetime Geek.
PrimetimeGeek.com.
And you know who usually is doing it? The AAA Anime Podcast.
Yeah.
See how that works? You know, it's all, you know,
it's
sort of...
full circle.
Yeah, it all sort of comes together like the Bermuda Triangle.
So there was something funny that I came across when I was looking up my animes, my anime video games, and it was an article from CNN, our good, you know, stupid friends at CNN who can't get anything right.
Just as a reminder,
CNN were the people that basically made all of Japan sound like rapists because of the game Rayplay.
Yes.
Well, CNN's very own hardcore gamer, JP Manga Linden.
How did we miss the job post for that?
I don't know, but he's the tech guru and hardcore gamer, in quotes, speaking about the 3DS. And before I play this short clip, I would like to note that he mentions, well, I'm just going to play it, and we'll see if it's self-explanatory. Very short.
iPod Touch, which do a myriad of things. It's kind of funny to come across the 3DS, which does one thing, does it pretty well, but features a pretty sort of retro-looking design that would not be out of place in the 1990s.
What?
It also relies exclusively on cartridges.
Oh, yeah.
Something we haven't seen since the last Game Boy, pretty much.
Minus
you can't download the
DS.
Content, and the grassroots developers can't develop for it. Also, to add insult to injury, perhaps, it also features a stylus, something we haven't seen since pump devices in the early 2000s.
Or something we haven't seen since all the last DSs.
Wow, yeah. Thank you. You prove that you have never played a video game in your life, hardcore gamer.
Or a handheld system in the last 10 years.
Yay for CNN!
I mean,
yay!
You could even argue that the PSP, in a way, is still using cartridges. I mean, okay, not traditional cartridges, but it's still relying on discs. I mean, he's harping on the cartridges for the fact that grassroots developers can't develop for it.
My mother knows that the DS has a stylus. Four-year-old children know this.
Actually, I think my mother knows the DS has a stylus, considering both of my parents have DSs.
I know.
And they play them.
Honestly.
My mother thinks the DS is a car, but you guys are obviously, your parents are on a different planet.
Oh.
But yeah, that
doesn't... The DS, I hear that gets great grass mileage.
Exactly. Yeah, is it Honda? Is it a Hyundai? Was it... No. But that was pure ignorance, and CNN put that on the air for worldwide consumption.
Well, that's just what CNN does. But there is other cool stuff that has been going on in the video game world that is not based on ignorance. If you Google headset that reads, I gotta plug this, I think it's so cool.
I gotta plug it.
Headset that reads your brainwaves. It'll come up with this thing on TED.com. It's literally the first hit. It says, Tan Lee, a headset that reads your brainwaves. And it's this thing that you put on your head, and it has these, like, 5 nubs, and you don't have to be bald or shaved or anything, and it reads your brainwaves.
Betty Nugs.
Oh my god.
It's Encino, man. Get with it.
But it reads your brainwave, and they show, like, applications where you can use it to control robots with your brain, you can use it to lift objects in video game world, it recognizes emotions, you can make music and art just by thinking about it. It's really cool.
And pretty soon, straight out of sci-fi.
And pretty soon we're going to have really a brand new, really, really, really realistic sex industry for in-home usage.
Can I just say that
it doesn't
coming.
Transmit anything back to you, though.
It's coming.
No,
no, but that's... No pun intended.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Nice wordplay there. No, when Robotech, which we all Macross Saga and those anime series were adapted into their Americanized form.
Yes.
And then those series were subsequently adapted into novels. One of the things that they added into the novels that was never in the series was just how is it that a human pilot could make the mecha move in such a human-like way? And it was because the helmets that the pilots were wearing had those headsets that could read brainwaves and could transmit the pilot's impulses. All they had to do was imagine what they wanted the robot to do, in addition to the flight controls. But it was a marriage of the mind and the hand systems.
Well, that's a cool thing about this, because it shows them, like, they recommend you have, like, commands and things like that, like physical commands, because it helps your brainwave work, because it's... Obviously, we're not to the point where we're so used to things like this that we can just literally think something.
Right.
And so it shows people who have, like, their blinds on automated systems or something like that, and they just do this.
Yeah.
And all their blinds open.
I think it's fantastic. Well, I'd love to see it demonstrated.
Which, it'll come more into play as we talk about the dot hacking.
Yes, it's very appropriate given the subject matter of the reviews tonight. But moving on.
Somebody wants to chat... I'm sorry, somebody wants to cross the hentai line in the chat.
It happens.
I just happen to see that.
It happens pretty regularly.
Really?
Yeah. So,
cool.
So increasing popularity of the Shin Megami Tensei series is where I'm going to start our discussion. Because...
And what's our discussion on again?
Our discussion is upcoming games based off of animes or the anime themes.
Aren't you happy that I asked that rhetorically? Considering that I... Not rhetorically. That's the wrong word. Aren't you happy that I asked that without having to actually know the answer? Because I prepared.
You're blonde.
Oh, yes, I am.
You are. Anyway, so...
Wow.
So, the Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne was the first game of the series that came out on the PS2 in 2004. It's Atlas's flagship series. Every company has one. The game sold about 154,000 units in Japan. I'm not giving Europe or the United States because the website I checked didn't have data for that particular game for the U.S. or Europe.
God, Mitsuki, you're so unprepared.
Well, between Nocturne and Persona 4, the four-year span, the sales in Japan of the Shin Megami Tensei series for the PS2 almost tripled.
Wow.
And given that subject matter, there is another game coming out sometime. It doesn't have a date yet, but it has been announced Persona 5 will be coming sometime down the line. But because we have such limited information on that, I'm going to kind of jump to Catherine. Because it's coming out on July 26th, 2011, for both the Xbox 360 and the PS3. And if you don't know what Catherine is, oh my god. Chiaki tells me that this could be one of the only games ever released with an NC-17 rating.
I've heard this is a rumor.
And if you don't believe us, go on Google and just Google Atlas Catherine, and you can find the cover art for both the PS3 and the 360. The PS3's cover art is like the most smoking hot anime girl you've ever seen in your life. Pulling, like, her, like, spaghetti string top straps, or, like, to the side with her thumbs. And the main character of the series is, like, in small form, sliding down her cleavage.
And this is PS3 cover artwork?
Yes, it is. And the cover art...
I will pull this up for you while it's continuing.
Post it into the chat also. The PS3... The Xbox 360 cover art is even worse. It's a picture of her sitting down with her legs spread with the main character's head smack dab between them.
Well, in the trailer, there is an actual sex scene.
I'm going to read what this game's about.
Are you kidding me?
Well, that's not the first sex scene we've seen. Think about God of War.
God of War is all off camera. Well,
if you don't know Shin Megami Tensei is notorious for being... It might be the only RPG series I can think of that has nothing but mature-rated games. Because these games are insanely dark... And violence, and they don't hold back anything.
You've gotta be kidding me.
The reaction.
Okay, no.
Yes.
You cannot walk down the aisle at Best Buy and buy that.
Yes.
Yes, you can, and you will on July 26th.
Sorry, it seemed fitting.
Okay, so here's what the game's about. Vincent likes his girlfriend. Catherine's pretty, smart, and successful. That's Catherine with a K, by the way.
With a K.
The trouble is, she's starting to talk about long-term commitment, and of course, Vincent doesn't like this because he's been trying to spend his whole life avoiding this. But since romantic complications are the last thing he really wants to deal with, Vincent meets his friends for their regular night of drinks. And little does he know that he's about to come across a beautiful, seductive, and she definitely is seductive, chick who is also named Catherine with a C. Suddenly, he's hungover in bed next to the most beautiful woman he's ever seen, unsure about the previous night's events. Was he making out, he wonders, or did something else happen between them?
Something else.
Should he tell his girlfriend Catherine with a K? Will he ever see Catherine with a C again? And Vincent's about to stumble on the staircase of love that will turn into a horrific, fatal plummet. Because this game is supposed to be extremely dark, and it's a horror game. So... Just how epically awesome is that?
I have to say, I love the style that this game is in.
Yeah, it is visually arresting.
Shin Megami Tensei's art style is absolutely stunning. Make some comments about it. Come on.
It's hallucinogenic is what it is. I mean, what am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? It's hazy perspective. You look like you're drunk.
Not to mention, there's a lot of like camera angles they use in this. You can tell that they finally upgraded to the new systems.
What's with the goat?
It's SMT.
What's with the goat?
Because there's a lot of camera angles and stuff, like where you have the camera pan around a character that you just couldn't have in the other games because you didn't have the level of sophistication in the graphics. But I am so excited about this game, and I hope Catherine is really cool, because I could totally pull off her cosplay.
I just posted...
There's a goat!
I just posted another link in the chat. It's a picture of Catherine eating pizza. I mean, just the simple things in life.
Oh, wait. I need to see this.
But, yes, Catherine's extremely hot.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I'm not really that surprised. I mean, if you look through the list of photos on
the
Google,
next CNN story from that expert, gamer guru, is going to be about this game.
Hey, Mitsugi. I think someone else got to that pizza before her.
Didn't. I mean, really got to spend the $300 to get that. What was it? 10,000 sound effect. Soundboard for your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just for that.
Anyway, so Chiaki, why don't you continue us onward into our adventure for another game coming out? Because Chiaki's handling mostly Japan releases, correct?
I am. Well, actually, one thing that I feel we must make. Actually, never mind. I'm gonna do this one because I want to. I'm going to talk about Disgaea 4.
Yay! I love Disgaea. Of course, Disgaea 3 was crap.
Pretty dude.
Disgaea 2 was acceptable. Disgaea 1 could be the best game on the PS2.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I like about Disgaea is even if the story is kind of a letdown, as long as they don't F up the battle system...
Oh, it's so funny, though.
It's fantastic because there are not too many good tactical RPGs out there now, and to have one that's even three-fourths the way decent, great by me. But it's already out in Japan. It was released February 24th. It's supposed to be coming out either the second or third quarter here in America of this year. I haven't heard any solid release dates, though. It's a PS3 game, and the game tells the story of Val Batoze, who is a vampire boy.
Oh, that's very similar to...
Fenrich, who is a boy with wolf-like traits.
Oh.
And Fuka, a girl with a pretty themed school uniform. And I just gotta say, I hope they're not going Twilight on this series. We got a wolf boy, we got a vampire boy, and we got a girl.
Fuka, I hope she's...
What is pretty themed, excuse me?
Oh, okay.
Aw, pretties.
Pretties, dude.
Pretties, dude.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Does not explain anything.
They're basically... They've been in the series since the original game. There's actually sub-game spin-off for the PSP, and I think there's a new pretty game coming out for the PSP, just as an aside. But there's these little, like, penguin minions.
Okay.
And they're very... They're just kind of cute and quirky. You know, they're kind of, like... They're kind of the well-meaning idiots, I guess you could say. Where they're just like...
They're like the
okay,
servants.
Dude.
They're like servants.
Okay.
This sucks, dude. It's, I'm gonna go die.
If I remember correctly, it's... Lemmings. Like, it's something that you're changed into if you're, like, a really bad person or something. I can't remember exactly from the first game. Maybe somebody in
that
the chat...
That sounds a whole lot less
up.
Cool than what was just being described.
But
okay.
They're like... You can basically throw them in battle and they explode.
And they explode.
Pretty
and
bomb,
funny.
As in pretty bomb. I see here.
Ha, dude.
Nice,
dude. Yeah. So Disgaea 3 will be, or Disgaea 4 rather. I'm hoping it's good. I thought the problem with the third one was that the story was so terrible.
Yeah.
The first one's story with Etna and Laharl is so funny and so cute.
And don't forget Flown.
And Flown is so awesome.
But she's someone that I would cosplay.
The third one, it was as if they didn't even care if it had a story or not, you know? So I find it to be difficult to play, but hopefully the fourth one will pick the series back up in a good way.
Okay, dude.
Ha,
let's
dude.
Move on, dude.
Dude. Okay, so Tales of Graces, F, coming out on the PS3.
It's actually Tales of Graces F. It's not just Mitsugi going F.
Yeah.
He does sometimes.
Well, I think it's an adaptation from the Wii title released in Japan, but it's coming out on the PS3. And it's the newest installment of, I think it's the 12th installment of Namco Bandai's flagship series of the Tales of whatever.
Okay.
Tales of the Abyss, Tales of Tales of Vesperia was the last one.
Okay. What type of game is it though? Is it an RPG? Is it an action adventure? What's the genre?
Think completely anime themed, uh-huh. Brightly colored. You ever play like Dragon Quest?
Yes.
Well, it's the kind of game where you it's a town to town type RPG.
Okay.
And
I got you.
It's like action RPG. So, Tales of Destiny was like one of my favorite ones. Came out like on the PS1 is what I played it on. That was a side scrolling battle game. There was another one that came out on the PS2 later, but the recent ones have been like 360. Like live action battle, so
yes.
Instead of being like side to side, like a Street Fighter game, It would be like
instead
all around.
Instead of a 2D, yeah. I got you.
And think grandiose story with anime characters, you know, anime-themed characters, because the Tales games do have animes made after them. So it could have a game, or maybe it could have an anime, or maybe it already has one. But
this is a case where the anime followed the game and not vice versa.
I do believe so. There are other cases as well, like the Blue Dragon. Blue Dragon had a game. I had an anime made after it.
Yeah.
I think some of the Dragon Quests have animes as well.
Sure.
But this game takes place on a planet known as Elfenea. Because they never take place in the same universe, right?
Or Effenea. I keep putting the L in there, thinking it's Elfenea.
I like Effenea. I think you're right. I think you're on track there.
It sounds like you're avoiding saying a curse word. Effenea. You know.
the people of the planet use a substance called Arlis, which is composed of another substance called Cryus, which has allowed civilizations on the planet to flourish. So I guess it's some kind of like an energy source. In Effenea, there are three kingdoms, Windall, Strata, and Fendel, who are competing for dominance of the planet. In the remote region of Windall lies a city called Lant, where the eldest son of a feudal lord Aston Asbel is a bright and cheerful boy who spends his childhood like any other carefree boy does, every day with his friends. After a certain incident takes place, he develops a new desire to protect others, and so he enlists himself in the Knights Academy in the capital in order to gain power. And I think that sounds like a cool story. So, and the Tales games are rarely bad. They're almost always good.
I remember the last one, Tales of Vesperia.
Tales of Vesperia is very good.
That was a very good game.
It was one
of the last decent RPGs that have come out for the next-gen consoles. It makes me so sad. I had someone come in the other day to my store. For anyone who doesn't know, I work at a major video game retail store that starts with a G and ends with a stop.
Tell us how you really feel about that.
GameStop?
Hey, I didn't say it.
But as if it matters.
They're not paying you, are they? Don't mention their name.
Yet.
I don't think your manager will care.
No, I doubt he will.
Yeah.
What was that? Oh, yeah. I had this guy come in, and he was like an older dude. He was probably like in his mid-30s, early 40s, somewhere there.
Oh, it's GameStop story time. I love this. Hear about the creepy people, because her GameStop is right next to Colonial, and oh my. And it's right next to a temporary living place, too.
Very fun. I have Baldwin on one side of my GameStop and temporary living on the other. It's very scary.
It's colorful.
It is a very colorful work environment, and oh, the stories I could tell. Remind me in the after party if someone really wants to hear them.
Okay.
But, anyways, I had this guy come into my store, and again, not old, but like older, not like a little kid kind of deal. So he's played the classics, and that's more what I meant by setting it up like this.
Xenogears.
He's played Xenogears. He's played
Trigger.
Final Fantasies. He's played. He brought up Chrono Trigger actually.
All right.
And
the good games don't exist anymore.
Yes. Well, he came up and he was like, "So I just got a PS3. I finally broke down and bought one." He's like, "And I want to know what are the good RPGs." He's like, "I've played Uncharted. I played God of War," and he named like one or two others like that are more action RPGs. But he's like, "I want a good RPG, like old school RPG." And I was just like,
"No Dragon Age Origins fans in the room here?"
Love Dragon Age Origins, but it's more of a modern day RPG.
Yes,
I mean he's talking like turn based.
Send him
like
send him send him to Lost Odyssey.
PS3.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
he doesn't have PS3.
No,
that's
or no. Lost Odyssey is a 360 exclusive.
Oh, that's correct. You're right. Sorry.
I know.
My mistake.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It was just so sad.
Well, send him back to games he may have missed, like Odin Sphere.
That's what I ended up doing. I suggested the fact that the PS3 has a great download game section,
mm-hmm.
and to go back and check out all the games that re-releasing for something he might have missed.
If anybody in the chat has played Odin Sphere, give a shout out, because that game is awesome. And no one has played it, and it's so underappreciated. It's also an Atlas game.
Yeah. Is it my turn to talk about something, now that I'm totally off topic?
Odin Sphere is one of the only games I've ever seen where you literally collect seeds and you plant them and, like, stuff grow. Like, all right, forget it.
I just need to make fun of him.
Just go.
Totally Statler and Waldorf you. You know, just while you're talking and, you know, Muppet Peanut Gallery. Anyway.
All right, so I'm just going to make a mention, kind of brush through it, because I'm sure people, if you're into it, you know about it. If you're not, you don't.
Somebody just came in the chat named GT Otaku. GTO. I must say, I love you.
Sweet.
He means that. So, Final Fantasy Dissidia 012 Duodecum has come
out. Good lord. Say that again.
Final Fantasy Dissidia 012 Duodecum.
Again.
Final Fantasy Dissidia 012 Duodecum.
Wow.
It's what you get when you work at GameStop. You earn these skills.
Dexterity.
So it's already out. It's on the PS3. It's basically your old Dissidia revamp. Good versus evil battle story. Focuses on the combat, less on the RPG. It has RPG-like character development. There's a loose story. It has three new characters that I know of. Kane, which is from Final Fantasy IV. Tifa from 7. And Lightning from 13. They're all playable characters. And then the other big feature is that there is an assist feature. As well as a playable Chaos storyline. So if you're into the Dissidias or Final Fantasy and you have a PSP, might be worth a check out. But what I really want to mention, and I'm really glad Rekka is here, because I want to mention this just for you, Rekka. There is a game called The Reminiscence of Haruhi Suzumiya that is supposed to come out...
Oh, I did see that,
like,
yes.
3 days ago, supposedly, in Japan. And it's supposed to be PSP and PS3. I think it might have been delayed, but I couldn't find anything confirming. But it's basically, it's developed by Namco Bandai, and the story takes place following the events of the film The Disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya. And it's supervised by the original movie staff, so you know that it's not going to go off on a tangent that the series doesn't belong into. So, yeah.
Okay, is it my turn again?
Yeah, it's your turn again.
I want to throw out a game here, and it's kind of funny because I have no idea what this game's about. I just know things about it. I don't know the plot line. It's called Record of Augurist War, and before the chat room explodes with laughter, because this game, it's essentially a cross between a strategy RPG and a dating sim. Oh, there comes the laughter. Here it comes.
Can I reenact the trailer for this? Can I please?
Yeah, sure.
Do you need room?
Do you think you can? Or are you just going to make a fool of yourself?
Probably the latter.
Oh, well, that's even better.
If you were
watching on Ustream, you'd get to see this.
So the trailer goes something like this. We have this. And then it shows, like, people doing sword fighting and battles and hardcore fantasy stuff. And then it's like, we have this. And it shows, like, battle scenes and world maps and putting your characters all around.
Take off your top.
And then it's like, but who wants it when we also have... this. That's seriously what happens in the trailer. I'm
a little uncomfortable.
Even kidding.
Okay, so this game has a lot of fan service in it. It reminds me, without having played it, it kind of reminds me of Thousand Arms.
Man, I think my blush is visible on camera.
Which I think Thousand Arms is also made by Atlus. But Thousand Arms is a game that came out on PS1 ages ago. And it's a game where you basically can, like, date girls in the game, and your progress with them helps you become a better blacksmith.
And that makes sense.
It's not it's not like really perverted the way this game is, because this game has, like, you know, well, just go look it up on YouTube, Record of Augurist War. But it's kind of cool, even though I know this game's not, like, awesome, but it's kind of cool because it plays out in generations. It's like a generational war. It's been going on forever.
Uh-huh.
So, like, in the first generation, you're playing as the dude, and you'll have, like, a number of girls you can pick from, right? So you want to hook up or, like, date or be flirty with this one girl. Well, whichever girl you have the best relationship with at the end of that section of the game, your next character in the second generation is the offspring between the two characters from the first generation. So depending on the girl you pick, it completely alters the characters you'll have throughout the game. So if you think about it, there's, like, dozens and dozens of combinations you could have throughout the whole course of the game. So it's kind of cool. And there's a game coming out called Record of Augurist War 0. It's coming out in Q2 of 2011 for the PS3. So if you're looking for a slightly, not awesome, but probably stomachable RPG, strategy RPG with an insane amount of mature, very, very mature fan service, and I mean, like, almost hentai... maybe even hentai.
It's blurred out.
It's blurred out, but man, if it wasn't, this game is naughty. Naughty, naughty.
Unbelievable.
That is the real trailer. That is not a fan trailer. That is the real trailer.
Okay, next. I want to hear about this Hyperdimension Neptunia.
Hyperdimension? Are we going to talk about the MegaCon after party last night? Oh, sorry.
Huh?
Whoa.
No, the theme of the MegaCon after party last night was the Cirque Dementia.
Oh. Felix from Primetime Geek.
Yeah, that's me. Okay. Please.
Hyperdimension Neptunia is actually already out. It's on PS3. It's released by NIS, which if you haven't seen how they're releasing their games lately, it's actually kind of cool. They're releasing them in these boxes that are about yay big.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone not watching the Ustream, that's about 8 inches?
5 feet? I don't know.
10 feet? Yeah. But they're bigger boxes, and in the box you get like an art book, you get the game, and then sometimes like some other small exclusive item like a keychain or something.
Oh, it's like what Working Designs did for Lunar right before it went bankrupt.
You got it.
I gotcha.
But it's kind of nice. They've done this now with 3 titles, I want
to
say.
Time to short sell Nipponichi's stock, I think. Is Nipponichi the same company that made that god-awful game, Tales of our Legend?
Alteria Verona? Yes.
That's the worst game on Earth. There's nothing worse.
It was bad.
I would rather play Naruto games for a straight month than have to play Alteria Verona. God in heaven, that game is awful.
But it's a... Hyperdimension Neptuna is a role-playing game loosely based on the video game industry, starring characters who are thinly veiled pataches of
pastiche.
Thank you Felix.
Yes,
she's blonde.
No, it's a tough word.
Pastiche of the current crop of video game consoles. Your party of console goddesses is searching for a precious book called history, and they'll butt heads with the villainous Arforay. Yeah, they're not making this easy on me. An embodiment of all that is wrong in video gaming. While bustling...
Oh, I'm sorry, all that's wrong in video gaming? Like that trailer we just watched for that other game?
But who wants all that when
you have this?
In fact, I'm gonna post a link to that trailer in the chat. Oh, you did? You already posted
it? Yeah, I already got it covered.
You should post it again. I think somebody was asking for it.
All right, you can. Anyways, while busting heads with combat abilities like skills links, character swapping mid-combo, and the ability to summon images stored on your PS3's hard drive to gain a competitive edge. It sounds probably stupid, but I don't know. There's something about it that interested me.
Well, it's satire. You know, it's satire packaged as a video game, and doesn't sound like very clever satire, but okay.
Whatever.
I think I'd sit on the couch and watch that for about 5 minutes. You know, then go look for a bag of chips or something. I don't know.
5 minutes is not long enough to finish a game.
You're right. I'm sorry. 2.5 minutes.
But it has the fancy box.
Well, nowadays it almost is long enough, because let's face it, you can beat most games nowadays in like 3 hours. If you're really good. And you've played.
See, that's not me. That's entirely outside of my world.
Okay?
Why? Why is that?
Well, for one thing, I have so many things juggling between jobs and school and whatnot that I feel like if I'm playing a video game for more than 5 minutes, my whole world is going to come crashing down around me from guilt. It's like there's so many things I am not...
Oh, I'm starting to experience that myself.
Right? I mean, it's...
Yes.
It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
Mitsuki, you're growing up.
I don't think that I'm 25, I know.
You've almost reached the otaku end date, according to Daryl Surratt from... the anime world.
But he's still going.
He is still going.
So it's not really the expiration date. Okay.
He stopped by my show last week.
Did he?
Yep, primetimegeek.com. Yep, he was there. I think he saw one of Kent or Larry's tweets that they were on the show. And,
cool.
And he stopped by. And
Daryl's
so
a cool
I felt
guy.
Like I had real podcast royalty in my show. It was amazing.
I gotta give credit where credit is due. They've had a good show over there for a long time.
Yep.
We're due to have maybe another one of them come on and treat our listeners with their knowledge. All right, so I've got one more here. I was lazy. I only had 4. I'm sorry.
Slacker.
But it's Valkyria Chronicles 3. Rejoice.
Aww.
Because the other two games are amazing. And
have you played the one for the PSP yet?
I haven't, but okay. I'm sure it's fantastic. And this other one is coming out for the PSP also.
Aww.
So, I'm really looking forward to the day when they come out with another console Valkyria Chronicles, because even though I have been playing more portable games lately, I still prefer console games.
I do want to say, as far as Valkyria Chronicles goes, I've heard nothing but wonderful things about it, in all seriousness.
Yes.
A buddy of mine whose gaming taste is impeccable as far as RPGs goes. He enjoyed non-anime related ones, obviously, like Oblivion and Elder Scrolls and those sorts of games.
Uh-huh.
Game of the Year titles, long before they were Game of the Year. He loved that last Valkyria Chronicles, and so I'd be excited. I'd want to check that out.
And it's a beautiful game, too.
Oh, it's like, all cel-shaded.
But it's not just cel-shaded, because when you think cel-shaded, you think like Dark Cloud or Star Ocean, or what's another more recent cel-shaded one? Eternal Sonata. That was cel-shaded.
Oh, my God.
Right. Okay, so you think
what
like
is the color of life? That game is awful.
Life?
Jeez.
I think Robotech Battlecry, but then again, I'm stuck in 1995.
It's okay. Ahead. Robotech Battlecry.
It's a good year.
But you kind of think that really hard cel shading, and Valkyria Chronicles almost looks like watercolor cel shading. It's so pretty. It's just, the game looks beautiful. So I appreciate that as a visual person.
I have nothing else to say about Valkyria Chronicles other than it'll be good. If you haven't played any of them, I would probably recommend getting one of the other ones before you play the third one, and maybe watch the if you play the game, you don't really need to watch the anime, because they follow the exact same plot line. But I prefer the game over the anime, but that's perhaps a discussion for another time. Chucky, you have one more.
I do have one more. It's just a mention. I'm sure this is something that, I mean, The Reminiscence of Haruhi Suzumiya has a shot, maybe, at getting an English title. This
probably
one
not.
Probably not. But this one really doesn't. But if you speak Japanese or are willing to play through a game, if you have no idea what's going on, To'aru Kogaku no Railgun is getting a game. The release date may be May 26th. That's what I kind of found floating around the internet. Obviously, that's the Japanese release date, and it will be a PSP release.
So it's going to be a game where, like, the first 10 hours is moe, cake eating, and, you know, skirts getting flipped up in the wind, and then you'll have, like, 3 minutes of fighting, and then you'll have, like,
well, it is
16 hours
based off the anime,
of moe.
But it's actually, it's been delayed. The release date is its delayed date, and it's due to the reworking of animation sequences, so maybe it'll be a higher quality skirt flying up.
Sometimes I think
y'all
are allowing a little bit of cynicism to creep into your prognosticating. Just say, you know, it's just an observation. I hope I'm wrong. Really.
Well, all I can say to you, Felix, is I've had my heart broken so many times.
I can understand that.
You got to understand, in this anime, the main girl has like the power of electricity, and she's like the only level 5 magic user in the whole Academy City.
Mm-hmm.
And she's called the Railgun because she can fire a coin like a railgun because she's electric.
Yeah, it makes sense.
In the first episode, there's a scene where there's a car driving at these girls like full blast, like, you know, and she shoots her railgun at it, and it makes the car, it basically blows the car up, and it flies over their head, kind of like something you'd see in like Die Hard.
Yeah.
Next 8 episodes, nothing but like girly 8-year-old girl cake eating. And like the opening theme is awesome. So they promise you the stars, and they give you, I don't know, New Jersey.
Ugh, the slums.
The basically. Slums.
Oh, that's They're, okay. Yeah, that would be heartbreaking.
It sprinkles good action throughout, but I'd say, I don't know. We already reviewed this anime. But I just want to clear my name, but I am jaded, but...
I'm sure there is a fan out there, though, that is excited at the prospect of To'aru Kogaku no Railgun, the game. That's it. That's all I have.
Somebody in the chat.
Hey, look, I was excited about Hokuto no Ken, you know, okay, and nobody else was. So there's got to be one fan out there for everything.
Dramatic pause in the chat said, Railgun was so slow, I think it started going backwards. Thank you for that. And that was like all there was at Comic-Con. Someone in Japan knows what the Japanese market wants. And it's not what I want, apparently.
Oh my god, Comic-Con when we were there, it was just... Railgun porn.
Railgun porn everywhere.
Everywhere. I've never seen so many hand-drawn naked pictures of this chick blown up to like large poster size.
Okay, you
guys. Check it out. There's some love for Ken's rage in the chat room. Check that out. I feel so validated.
Fist bump.
Yes, Rekka, I did enjoy K-On. The first one was okay. I would hang out. I play some piano. Anyway, so
some cake.
Oh, I would eat.
Actually, lots of cake.
Cake
sounds good. I want to make a cupcake.
Mm. Okay, so we're gonna make some cake apparently, and when we get back, we're gonna cover two animes that are based after games inside of a game.
Inside of a game.
Something. It's confusing. Dot Hack Roots and Dot Hack Sign, and it'll be great. So stick around. And we hope you guys stick with us, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Hey all you anime fans, it's time for your one and only anime news break. To get things started, we have an announcement from Clamp. Apparently Clamp and the anime studio Production IG is going to be working together on a new Blood anime series called Blood Sea, which is going to launch this summer in July. Clamp is apparently responsible for creating the story of the anime and the original character designs, and Production IG is going to handle the animation. For those of you that don't know, the Blood Vampire anime franchise began with Production IG's Blood the Last Vampire film. So we'll watch out for this anime and cover it as it's shown in July. Next up, fresh from the Sydney manga and anime show, there have been details released for the Australian Nationals of the Bandai Model Kit World Cup 2011. I never even knew there was a Bandai Model Kit World Cup, but apparently, if you win the contest at the Sydney Manga and Anime Show, you will win a trip to Hong Kong to compete internationally as apparently the best model kit creator of Bandai figures. Countries that will compete include Japan, China, Singapore, the Philippines, Indonesia, Italy, the United States, Thailand, Hong Kong, South Korea, and Malaysia. So we have most of the East Asian countries as well as the United States and Italy. Registration closes on the 1st of July, so if you're a model kit maker, get your ass out there and do it. Next up, an update on the Akihabara killings that happened in 2008. In 2008, a man named Kato struck 5 individuals with a truck at an intersection near the main Japan railway station in Akihabara, and then proceeded to stab 12 people on the streets before he was apprehended by police. Well, it seems that the Tokyo District Court, after 3 long years, has finally sentenced the man to death for killing 7 and injuring 10 people in this hit-and-run event. That's it for the anime news for now, and we'll get back to the show in just a minute.
In the summer of 2008, a man named Fightbait started an anime podcast.
I watched Grenadier because of the tits.
And it was terrible. 2 years later...
Maybe his penis is the duck.
I don't know how you would put that in a woman.
Fightbait.com may still suck ass, but we're bringing you more content than ever. If you head over to the website, you can now find news, reviews, editorials, pictures of dogs, and more crappy podcasts than your ears can handle. You even have the option to subscribe to the podcast, the blog, or both. Fightbait.com, kicking ass on the internet for 2 years and counting, proving that quantity is better than quality.
Hey there, this is Vic Mignogna from Full Metal Alchemist, Edward Elric. And just like these crazy hosts of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, I am a total anime addict!
Hey you guys, we're back with the second half of, or it's actually more like the latter third, of the 77th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Joining us tonight once again is the wonderful Felix Alberni, host of Primetime Geek, www.primetimegeek.com.
Not so wonderful just then.
It's wonderful.
Everything's wonderful in my life.
It's that Kahlua.
Yeah, the minute I start hitting the hard liquor, it all goes out the window.
Kahlua really hard liquor?
No.
I was going to say, because I can drink it.
It's more of a flavoring.
So.
Yeah. It's grown up chocolate syrup.
Yeah, chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So, we are going to review two animes based after games that have games in them. I don't know. It's
something
confusing.
Like that.
Yeah, it's actually, it's kind of like the Street Fighter movie. It's like the Street Fighter, the movie, the game. It's like, it's a game based after a movie, based after a game. So, if you were playing the Dot Hack game, it would be a game based after an anime,
based after a game.
Wow. But since they do come in order, somewhat, Dot Hack Sign did come first.
There's definitely an order to this series.
Yeah, because there's little, like, Easter eggs that kind of show up in the later, like, Roots has certain things in it that I may or may not say, even though it's definitely older at this point.
Yeah.
But Chiaki's going to do Dot Hack Sign before...
I love Dot Hack Sign.
I watched it for the first time on Cartoon Network, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's where I first saw it. Dot Hack Sign is the first contributor to the Dot Hack series. In fact, I think it predates the games. Like, I think it is the start-off to the series. So, if you really sound... If after this, these reviews, you really seem like you're interested in the series, definitely start with this one. Because if there's anything that I'm going to hit on... It's the fact that this series builds on itself.
Yeah, you said hit on.
That's awesome.
It was... Oh, my God. It was released in 2002 from the studio B-Train. 26 episodes long. But those 26 episodes, while it does have a completed story in the sense that it has a beginning, a climax, and an end... go ahead.
Hey, butthead. He said climax.
Shut up, ass munch.
It ran on Cartoon Network for a short stint, and that was, of course, my first exposure to the world of Dot Hack and Dot Hack Sign, and you are just losing it, Mitsugi.
That was really funny. It's so good.
Oh, my God.
My years of Beavis and Butthead watching finally paid off for something.
Yep, and it will pay off again, because it's coming back.
Is it?
It's coming back.
You didn't know that?
Are you shitting me?
No.
New Beavis and Butthead?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, fresh.
When is that coming out?
Like this summer, I think?
Yeah.
Late summer.
Well, King of the Hill hasn't been doing too well. That makes sense. Get back to Beavis and Butthead.
Anyways, so this anime, I have to admit, was one that I really enjoyed. And I have to set up the time period in which it came out. To me... It was such a fresh concept. Sure, there were other animes that kind of dealt with the virtual world before this, but they were either something like Lane, which was just like a ridiculous mind F, or things like Digimon, which, let's face it, were generally childish and not meant to really say much. So... It's a romp through... It tackles a virtual world as an enjoyable romp through a fantasy MMO RPG.
Enjoyable romp?
I liked that wording.
Mm. It reminds...
It's usually applied to, like, light Shakespearean adaptations, you know, sort of Midsummer Night Dream.
Well, I am drinking some wine. I might as well make this review sophisticated.
Yes, yes. Darling. Mm.
You're never going to get through this review, but when you said... But when you said romp, all that I thought of was a certain play from the producers.
Oh, springtime.
Okay. I'm going to play Yasai Shiyo Ake while you talk.
Oh my God, I would sing this if it wasn't going to be awkward and right in the middle.
Well,
because this is one of my favorite songs, and I'll hit on that. But setting up the time period in which this came out, World of Warcraft was originally announced in 2001. So you recently had World of Warcraft announced just the year before. You know, everyone knows what World of Warcraft is, but that was building hype. And Final Fantasy XI came out a month before this anime season, or this anime series. So, of course, by the time the series came to America, you have all of these things that are building hype about these new MMOs, and of course you have things like Evercraft and stuff that have just been around for forever. So the early 2000s were practically the birth of MMOs as we've known them for the past, like, decade or so. And this game really, I feel, intentionally or unintentionally, capitalized on this, like, budding fascination and love for these MMO fantasy realms.
That's why I liked it.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was very interesting.
I started playing Final Fantasy XI during this time, and when I saw the series, I was just like, oh my God, this is what I want, sort of. So almost 100% of Dot Hack Sign takes place in the video game world, where people live and interact through their video game avatars. And of course, their video game avatars look as what you would expect them to look like. You know, they kind of have like face paintings, and you can definitely tell the different classes, the spellcaster classes, the priestlight classes.
Slight amounts of customization, although you can like definitely tell when it's a twin blade and when it's a heavy blade.
Exactly.
Right.
So it has these like feels to it that make it really feel authentic. It's not just like random anime that's trying to claim that it's in a game. And one thing that I liked is that the dialogue also reflects this. You end up having characters saying, oh, I have to go walk the dog, I'll be back. Or, I gotta log out, it's bedtime here.
Huh.
Things like that where it might be like in character in this fantasy world, and then once in a while, you break the character. As you would in most MMOs. So the world is like part D&D and part Man and the Machine. And I literally mean the world, because that's what the MMO is called. And I feel that it almost holds like an eerie symbolism, because characters or people log on to the game by having this like machine setup. And why I mentioned the headset that reads minds earlier is because it's basically like that. It's they plug in.
I was just reminded of.
And they are plugged into the game, quite literally. And they think to move the characters, and they interact, and like how they feel in the game is how they feel in real life. I don't know if it's like 100% like pain kind of thing sent over, but it's definitely one of those things where if they're happy in real life, they're happy in the game. So it's definitely 100% integration at this point. And the story is told from the perspective of Tsukasa, who is endlessly confused and seems to always be at the center of things without actually having much go on with him. And that's probably the most frustrating point of this series is, you know, when you were like 5 or 6 and your parents would be talking about something and you're just at the age where you're beginning to understand them, but you don't understand them 100%. So you're like, I know what you're talking about is important, but I don't understand.
Is that like when I ask my mom what the F word meant after watching the Predator movie?
Yes.
And Danny Glover said it. Blame Danny Glover.
But
that was good.
That's Tsukasa. He's almost like a Shinji-like character in his level of patheticness.
He is pathetic.
He's very pathetic, and he's very kind of throughout the whole series. And that's probably the most frustrating part, is you have this all-around generally good story, but it's told from the perspective of the most lame character out of possibly all of them. But as the story continues, what ends up happening is people in the real world, in real life, end up going into comas for unknown reasons. And when they go into comas, they're unable to be awoken, but they're still logged into the world. So there starts to be this rash of comas, basically, coma patients. And of course, people are kind of wondering what's going on, and they're trying to figure out what's going on in the world. And they end up discovering secrets about the world that lead it to be something more than what it is. And I know that's very vague, but I don't want to ruin anything, because it's actually kind of nice plot twists at the end. Like, there's a level of, oh, I didn't see that coming, which is nice. But one thing I definitely want to touch on is that one, despite being an MMO, this game is definitely a dialogue-driven anime. There are many episodes where the entire episode is walking around the town talking, and then it finishes by sitting next to the water talking. So it's definitely a, why is this taking so long to cover this little? But the ending is good. The music is amazing. I love the music to this series.
I'm playing Key of the Twilight now.
Oh, I love Key of the Twilight. The music is fantastic, the art is great, the story is really good if you can get past it, but the only other downside is that even though it does have the beginning, climax, and end, and it does wrap up most of the questions, there are still a lot of things that are left as unknowns, because the Dothack series was designed from the start to be a full package, where each of the games that were released, like Dothack Liminality, the physical PS2 video game, came with a DVD excerpt.
The Don't Hack Lemonality. Don't Hack Liminality is the DVD.
Oh, that's
came
right.
With it.
Don't Hack Liminality was the DVD.
Don't Hack Infection.
Infection was the first one, and then there's three others. That
Infection, Mutation, Quarantine, and
I had the list just a second ago.
Outbreak.
It's out. I don't know. Continue though.
Anyways, but so there's definitely games that lend you more parts to this overall story revolving around the MMO that's the world. There's also the manga, which gives more information intentionally. It's Infection, Mutation, Outbreak, Quarantine. Those are the games.
I gotta say, there was something weird about playing a game about an anime that's about a game, where you're reading email on a fake desktop,
yeah,
from like people that don't exist.
But I
so it really
kind
breaks through
charming.
The fourth wall a number of different times. It's winking at you. You're playing, but you're not playing. But yeah, that's a really complex experience.
Yeah,
you're a viewer. You're a player. What are you?
And not to steal your review, but in the game, a lot of the story is portrayed through like the news clippings and stuff you'll get on your desktop.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting, because something will happen in the game, and, like, you may or may not have been involved in it, and then, like, you'll leave the game, you'll log out, and you'll be on your desktop, and you'll see a news clipping about what happened in the game.
And it's cool, because you don't get that news clipping alert until after you log out.
Right, it's like someone like, dies, and you'll see, like, a thing, girl falls into coma playing the world, and you'll know that was why. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, but, I mean, Dot Hack Sign is a solid introduction to the series. I mean, it does have its weaknesses, especially to the fact that you have to really get the true ending and the full true meaning, you have to watch, read, and play everything. I mean, overall, it's a solid anime. I think I'd give it 3.5 Keys of the Twilight out of 5. Because it was such an original concept, when it came out. It was really tackling something that no one had ever even broached before. And it was done in a way that was really original, so despite the fact that it ended up dragging, ended up having a little too much talking, wasn't enough action, and the fact that you can't enjoy it without can't fully enjoy it without investing a lot of time into it, it was decent. It was good. So, I like Dot Hack Sign.
I've watched all the Dot Hack stuff, a number of times, and I've generally come to the conclusion that I think the Dot Hack series is kind of mediocre, but for some reason I enjoy it anyway.
I think it's because it appeals to the gamer. I really do, because I end up hearing myself reviewing this, and I'm like, what redeems this anime? But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the feeling. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just because I've always kind of wanted to be sucked into one of those MMO worlds.
Yeah. Well, maybe you soon will be with your headset that can read your brainwaves.
I can't wait!
Maybe it'll be like Tron. You guys go see that?
No.
Oh,
I didn't see the new one. I've seen the old one.
I've seen the old one, though, but same concept. You get sucked into the game world.
Oh.
And ride around in really cool light cycles and stuff.
Light cycles are pretty cool.
Okay,
so,
that was worst interruption ever. Please
no,
continue.
No, not at all. And Dot Hack Roots is the worst Dot Hack ever.
Okay.
So
that actually segues rather nicely.
It does.
Dot
Hack Roots. Let's see here. When did Dot Hack Roots come out? Who knows? Dot Hack Roots came out. It certainly came out. It came out after Legend of the Twilight in 2006. So, wow. I remember when this was currently running. So, I really am getting old. It's sad. But,
cheer up. I'll always be older than you.
Can't you wait until it's like 5 years down the road and hopefully we're still doing this podcast as good as ever, and we're gonna be like, oh my god, I remember when we watched this for the show.
Crap, that was when I don't know. Forget it.
Crapped.
Forget it.
Last.
No matter what I was gonna say, it was gonna be bad. So, Dot Hack Roots is a prequel to the Dot Hack GU video games, and that's probably the worst thing about this anime, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it follows the story of Haseo, who is a multi-weapon. It's apparently a new class, because multi-weapon, I don't believe, existed in Dot Hack Sign. But, because he starts out as, like, a twin blade, and later on becomes, like, a heavy blade. I guess he can use whenever he wants, which kind of isn't fair.
Well, but, you know, you gotta have the main character be the overpowered powered class. Because let's face it, every MMO has that one class that's ridiculously overpowered, and all the newbies start out on it, and
then it gets nerfed, and everybody bitches.
You're not actually skilled.
My God, the paladin's so strong. Oh my God, they nerfed the paladin.
Oh my God, why did they change those skills?
Anyway, so
can we have a translation of what we mean by nerf?
Just nerf.
When something in an MMO is too strong, and so the game developers will release a patch that'll change something that'll bring it
to make it soft and weak.
That's what happened in my MMO that I played.
Bring it a little bit down to earth, you know. It's like nerf weapons.
Yes, nerf. Okay. Yes. Okay.
All right. Basically, he's a multi-weapon and a member of the Twilight Brigade Guild. In 2015, the CC Corp, whom is the creator of the world, burnt down, and most of the world's data went with it. But it's set 6 months before .IGU, and Haseo logs into the world for the first time. And it's ironic that you called him strong, because the first thing that happens to him is that he gets his ass PK'd. PKing has become a big problem in the world, and this is something that you experience, continuously throughout. But just continuing on, he's saved by these people named Ovan and Shino, which is why he joins the Twilight Brigade, because I guess he feels like he owes them something, or maybe it's because he's a newbie and he has new friends. But they're on a mission to find the Key of the Twilight, just like always, which is pretty much the main plot behind
Come
every
game.
Come
with me in the twilight of the summer night for a while.
But there's another guild called the Tan Guild that doesn't want this to happen, because they want Ovan's character data. He has this device on his left arm that they will stop at nothing or anything to get it.
Dun 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 dun!
The twist to the show happens when Triad shows up, I thought, because this show was the most boring thing ever until he showed up and started PKing everybody. It really does pick back up. And
I remember watching this show. He's like the randomly overpowered, mysterious person who...
Tri-Edge, I think he's like an artificial intelligence, kind of like Aura. But spoiler, maybe, I don't know. Spoiler alert, maybe. His character design is Kite.
Kite.
Kite from the original game.
Yeah.
So, my opening thoughts on the show are that if you watch the series and you don't plan on playing the games, then don't watch it. Because you really need to play the game to finish the story. And, I'll tell you why that's a bad thing. I think it's because it makes the anime a lot less accessible to people, first of all. I mean, it's four games. Who can honestly watch an anime knowing the responsibility that you're going to have to drop $200 to play the games to finish the story?
That's well, now it'd be like 30, but...
And the games aren't even good. So why are you going to torment yourself?
Yeah, they really aren't.
If you watch it without playing the games, this is what you're going to get. Many unexplainable events, characters that have no backstory or aren't fleshed out, and therefore you don't end up liking them.
Storylines which seem to jump around for no reason.
And at the end, it basically has no ending. It just kind of ends, because they expect you to pick it back up.
So this was less a series and more a marketing ploy. You know, it's just you have to buy the games in order to get a full viewing experience.
I mean, I do think there's something kind of cool about having, like, a completely, almost an effort to make an autonomous world out of it. Because, like we were saying with the games earlier, like, it almost adds that realism. It's almost like you watch the anime and then you become part of the world yourself.
Okay.
So, that's kind of cool, but as Mitsugi said, the games weren't very good. I'd almost rather if they released one game, made it really good, and maybe crammed a little too much of the story into among the series and that one game, then try to spread it out. Because the games by the end were god-awful.
Just another example, great concept, poor execution.
Yeah.
Good idea, but...
Just to kind of... I mean, I'm looking at Game Rankings, which is like a site that averages every online review of games into a single score.
Like a Rotten Tomatoes for games.
Right. And it looks like the original .hack series, it gets around like a 75, which isn't wonderful. But if you watch the anime and you like games and anime, you're probably gonna like it a little better than that. I did.
Okay.
But like the .hack GU goes into like the low 60s. And I just thought .hack, and before I continue on with the review, the games, the original .hack games that came out with Sign, they're really a lot. They don't really create this inaccessibility because they're not the same game, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can play the game and the anime had separate stories for Dot Hack Sign.
You'd get more out of them if you played them together, but yes.
Probably, but you could play them, but they had the entire story within each of them. That way you didn't have to, like, play half the story in the games and half of it in the anime. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, continuing on. It's not the only thing about the anime that's bad. I just thought that the plot and the direction of the anime were horrible. There were, like, times where you'd have... I know we've all seen anime where they'll have, like, a still image.
Yeah, and then they, like, pan up the still image as a cop-out.
His and Her Circumstances did this a lot. You'll have, like, a still image on, like, a rose or something, where, meanwhile, there's, like, voice acting in the background, and they'll have, like, this still image. Evangelion does it, too. Gainax. They'll have, like... It feels like they're trying to save the animation budget. But there's times in this show, and it's so weird, where characters just stare off into space. They're, like, staring up at the sky or at the water and then, like, in, like, the river.
But see, you know, a real gamer knows that that is a bio break.
But I'm telling you. Yeah.
When your character just stands there for an awkwardly long period of time doing nothing.
TMI.
Oh my god, that is not TMI. Anyone who's played an MMO knows what a bio break
Thanks
is.
Thanks for pulling back the curtain, okay?
Anyway.
Spoiling it for everybody.
But this isn't the only... I'm not just saying that it doesn't happen just like a couple of times. It happens a lot. And in addition to that, these characters take forever to decide to do anything. And then it takes them like 2 episodes later to finally get around to doing it. So this is probably one of the slowest anime I've ever seen. The only time the show really picks up is when... Haseo goes apeshit later on, and he's, like, killing somebody, or someone's getting PK'd, or Triedge is trying to kill somebody, and that's, like, not a very large portion of the game. Just to throw that out there. I also thought that the anime really abandoned the MMO inside the anime type of theme, because, like, in Dot Hack Sign, the character designs were such that it felt like a game, and, like, the battle moves and stuff would be... They would feel more like standardized attacks you'd have in a game, you know, in a regular game. And they'd be like, hold on a minute, my mom's calling, you know? And like, or they'll have shots from outside the game. You never saw what the characters' players looked like.
Yeah.
But you'd see them like passing out on their computer, or you'd see them like getting ready for school or something random.
There was an acknowledgement of the real world outside.
They continually reminded you that there was a real world out there.
Yeah.
Whereas in Dot Hack Roots, they really don't maintain that connection. The characters have way too much emotion. Like, there's no way you'd ever have an avatar in an MMO that would feel so real.
Yeah.
Because basically you're watching it, you forget that it's even supposed to be an MMO, because there's practically no acknowledgement of it.
And that's what the charm of the series is, to me at least.
Exactly. And so it loses some of that, and it just doesn't feel like you're watching an MMO, and that's a shame. On the plus side, the music and the visuals of the anime are quite good. I'm playing Boukoku Kakusei Catharsis in the background. It's the ending theme of Roots, and it's pretty awesome, just like Dot Hack Sign. But
all the whole series does have great music.
It almost feels like since the visuals and the music are so good, though, it almost feels like they're using them as a crutch.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because the rest of the show is kind of, you know, it wishes it was as good as Dot Hack Sign, or even as good as Legend of the Twilight, which I think most people will tell you is the best one. It certainly seems like, well, I don't know.
I hated Legend of the Twilight.
Well, it doesn't drag. I mean, it had some worthless filler in it, but at least it wasn't 26 episodes of talking, you know? But,
So would this be another example of, we said earlier, great concept for execution, but also all the money going into design and very little going into plotting and actual depth of character and making a compelling storyline? I really don't know,
because it's not like they're reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. I mean, just, they already have everything that they know, that the creators know of the Dot Hack world, they can basically... could have incorporated it into this new anime. It isn't like they had to come up with a concept for, like, the chest at the bottom of the dungeon, or data draining, you know, or whatever else you spend money on brainstorming. I just felt like it had bad direction, And it was almost to me like they didn't care about making the anime solid and good enough to stand on its feet because they had the game to fall back on.
Yeah.
Or it could have been, or maybe they were splitting the same budget between the game and the anime, and therefore both ended up being crappy.
Yeah, okay. I buy that.
If they had just had the anime or just had the game series, it could have been decent. I don't know. Or maybe they just felt like the Dot Hack series wasn't doing well, so it couldn't get the funding that Sign had.
Has anybody else tried to do anything since then like this? A tie-in where you have to watch a game, and then you have to play a game in order to get a complete storyline out of an anime? Has anyone followed up on that experiment?
I don't know if any anime is based on it for an MMO.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, as discussed earlier, there are a lot of anime which have games that are kind of like either retellings or side stories or little like happenings maybe in between seasons or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever been something where, I think they've kept it more to that, where it's like, you can play it if you're really into the series and you want to get maybe more out of it than just the anime, but it's not like you have to.
It's not a missing chapter.
It's not a missing chapter or a backstory or something that really enhances the game. I mean, I think it's more things like the Haruhi Suzumiya game, where if you play it, great. You'll get a cute little fun story that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. But if you don't play it, you're not going to be left out of the series.
Sure. Okay.
But the music really is good. If you listen to this song I'm playing right now, they actually use the Queen of the Night aria theme from Mozart's Magic Flute opera. As I pause so people can hear the aria. It's very cool that they put one of Mozart's most famous melodies into the actual music. I think that's pretty cool. But like I said, it felt almost like the music was a crutch. I can't give it more than 2 Data Drains out of 5.
Ooh, the series went from a 3.5 to a 2.
It's just bad. I mean, there's no reason why anybody should ever have to spend $220 or whatever it is with tax to play a game series. I mean, you're going to watch the anime. It's not that good. What about the anime made you think that you needed to buy the games? Like, it wasn't so good to me that I felt like I had to finish the story.
Yeah.
I mean,
honestly, it was... I played the first game because I was so enthralled with it. And then after I played the first game, I was kind of like, things are waning. Mm. Interest is disappearing.
Well, here's me as the anime came to a close. Okay, there's 3 episodes left. We still have some time to get the story. Okay, 2 episodes left. Maybe they'll wrap it up really in some genius way. Okay, 1 episode left. God damn it! Wasted 26 episodes on this crap. So, but I will watch Dot Hack Quantum. I wanted to review it for this episode, but because that the OVA isn't finished yet, it's 3 episode OVA. I will review that when it's done. And hopefully it's better. There's also a Dot Hack. There's also a movie that
there's a lot of Dot Hack world.
There's also the movie is like about Roots. It's Dot Hack GU the movie. So it basically follows the same plot line. So maybe the movie has the whole plot in it. I know that they released it much later, which makes sense because if they did it at the same time as the game, nobody would bother buying the game to finish the story. So
you sound exhausted by that review, man. I mean, it just took it all out of you.
I'm just
win right out of your sales.
I'm just recalling playing
the disappointment. Yeah,
because I actually did buy the first volume of the game. That's how I know it's not very good. So, anyway, so thank you, Felix, for joining us tonight.
Yes, Felix.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful. I wish I was better prepared, as always. I feel like I'm always learning from you guys.
You had a rough day.
Yeah, it was a rough day, but it was a good day still.
You're always a valuable contribution to the conversation, though.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And everybody listening, don't forget to go to primetimegeek.com. Otherwise, I'll know who you are.
At the very least, when Mitsugi and Chiaki are guest co-hosting with me, which will be very, very soon again.
Well, actually, it'll probably just be him.
Because you're going to be gone.
I'm going to be gone.
Oh, no. I had to hold you on the fort by myself.
it's like all that, by
it's
yourself.
It's like that one Halloween episode that I did a long time ago by myself. That's hard. No guests, no nothing, just you for an hour.
Yeah, no, I've been there. When I used to be able to fill 2 hours on my own, that was cool. I can't do that anymore.
I just can't. It was tough. I was spoiled by having co-hosts.
For anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, I'm going to be in Asia starting April 9th until May 1st. And so I will not be on the show, really, that span of time, unless I call in. No, don't expect me. And there might actually be a period where there's no episode, so don't cry. We'll be back.
We'll get it done somehow. Maybe we'll pre-record a couple at once. And
yeah, I could definitely call in from Korea. Korea.
I'm incredibly jealous. Great. So, you guys, the outro theme tonight is yet another Dot Hack song. Not that it's a bad thing, because they're all really good. But it's called Fake Wings, and it's from the anime Dot Hack Sign.
Oh, I love this song. You're playing all my favorite Dot Hack Sign songs.
By the artist Yuki Kajiura. And we hope you all have a good night and a wonderful week. And thank you again, Felix, for joining us.
Thank you, Felix.
PrimetimeGeek.com. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you later.
Good night.
Thank you.